Welcome to the Know Nothing Music Show. Thank you very much for listening. This is our weekly music podcast where we get together, nerd out about various music and bands and news-related articles, and ramble on and on for about 50 minutes on the dot, almost always. So thank you very much for listening. If you like what you hear, please add this feed to your pod feeder. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. This is Tom. And across from me, as always, is Tim. How you doing?
Well, I am just getting over a nasty little cold, but I'm doing pretty good otherwise. We're having a drink and getting ready to gear up for an episode that's a little bit delayed, but what the hell?
Well, you know, when one of us gets sick, you really can't go ahead and do it because it wouldn't sound that great, and there would be a lot more hacking and stuff than usual.
Well, we try.
Yeah. Well, you know, hopefully you guys can give us a break. We took a week off. It was nice.
Half a week.
So this week we've got the new album from Field.
Field Music. The album is Measures. And then, of course, we got your group, Fortet, and you have more to say about them,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Fortet. I saw him. It's actually just a... Fortet is the working name for Kieran Hebden. His new album, There Is Love in You. I believe that came out end of January. So looking forward to talking about the show, which happened at the Empty Bottle, and then talking about the album itself. So let's hop on into some stories first, Tim.
Fantastic. A lot of interesting stories, especially related to illegal music purchases. And probably the big one of the last week or so has been Lou Salser. You don't know who he is. You don't care who he is. All you know is that he won $10,000 in Apple Bucks. How did he do it? Well, he was the 10 billionth, he had this billionth with a B, song downloader off of Apple's iTunes Music Store. Salser is a 71-year-old country fan. And the song he downloaded, you guessed it, the 1958 Johnny Cash song, Guess Things Happen That Way. Awesome little song, by the way. So, when asked what he would do with the $10,000 credit to iTunes, he says, I don't even know what they all have. Oh, wow.
That's a lot of...
What would you do with a $10,000 credit?
I'd get some collections. Like, of just like, you know, get all of...
all the cash, of course.
Yeah, all Johnny Cash. I think I'd go and get some maybe Frank Sinatra collection. What else? I mean, there's so much you could do with that. I mean, you're asking a guy that talks about music every week, so yeah. That $10,000 could be gone...
pretty quick, within the end, by the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, while I was thinking about it, I think that credit is actually good towards if you purchase an iPod from their store. So I would just buy $10,000 worth of gear, or I would actually just ask them for the money.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a cash equivalent or whatever the second place prize is. And if they wouldn't, I'll just buy iPods and sell them on eBay. Not to be mean or anything, it's just that, seriously, I'd rather have the actual CDs. Then I would go crazy on Amazon.
Yeah.
So, I was actually thinking about that earlier, and that's exactly what I'd do. And not to be a dick, it's just that I don't buy much music off of iTunes. I would probably, you know, I would probably save about a couple $100 in iTunes bucks and probably give it out as gifts.
Yeah. So, I use Amazon. I like Amazon.
I really do like the Amazon. I think that's a great way to buy music, and especially through Lala, you can't lose. Can't lose.
Yeah, definitely. My only story, and it's not really a story, it's more of a picture slideshow, you could say.
Go ahead, tell your story, because I have a follow-up question for you.
It's from the Daily Swarm, but it's via the BostonBarstoolSports.com, and it's entitled, Hillary Duff Teaches All Girls How to Handle Getting Engaged. Her longtime boyfriend, I believe his name, or he's an NFL player, Mike Comrie, He popped a question, and he gave her a $1 million engagement ring. So what does she do? She gets all excited, and then gives him a BJ. I love what the guy says at El Presidente from Barstool. He's like, take note, ladies. This is how it's done. If you want to earn your man, you got to learn your man. He's like, man, I love Hillary Duff. I actually saw this same story in US Weekly, the magazine, and they showed the first two pictures and her looking at the ring, but they did not show the final picture, which I don't know, whatever. But I think that's if I ever broke the, you know, if I ever get married and ask a lady to marry me, it wouldn't be a bad thank you gift. So, Tim, what are your thoughts?
I do that for my man. Okay, my next story. Oh, no, my follow-up question. I almost forgot. I was going to ask you, what the hell does that have to do with music?
She's a singer, Hillary Duff.
Yeah, of a sort. Okay.
So it's, you know, like Britney Spears, all that. We don't listen to that. I don't think we'll ever review that. We made a mistake doing Kanye early on, so...
Okay, whatever. All right. This next story is actually one that interested me a lot. It's because I am a Linux advocate. I try to turn Tom onto it. Unfortunately, we got the same exact computer. Dell, let us know what the hell's wrong. Same exact model, at least. I pretty much same laptop. For some reason, running the same version of Kubuntu, Tom can't get Audacity to run.
No.
I don't know what the hell the deal is with that. But anyway... I'm be going on like a year now. I've been running Ubuntu, actually Kubuntu, you know, a version of Linux, a very popular version of Linux now, very user friendly. And like I said, I've been an advocate of it. I've been using it, and in fact, I hardly ever use Windows. Very few reasons I would actually even, you know, boot it up. So. The next version of Ubuntu, the reason why this story is really interesting to me, evidently it's going to come with a built-in MP3 store. Evidently it's going to be usable through the built-in music player called Rhythmbox, which is installed by default. A halfway decent music player. I've used it before. I use Amarok now, but if the next version comes built into Rhythmbox, I'd really take a look at it. But anyway, the music store is actually going to be using... 7 Digital, which I believe I had talked about a long time ago when we were talking about Songbird, that music player / web browser. And 7 Digital, at that point, it had just opened up in the U.S., so the availability of certain artists, it was very minimal. But I'm looking at a screen grab right now. And it looks like they have available Fortet, one of the groups. Well, yeah, one of the groups we're going to be talking about today. So I'd really be interested to see, because I haven't gone back to 7 Digital. They really didn't have a lot of stuff. So I'm really interested to see what they've added to their library. And this is a great step forward, a very progressive, especially when. You know, operating systems, when you have Mac and Windows going head to head and, you know, being, oh, you suck, no, you suck, no, you suck, no, you suck. It's great to have an OS that goes, you know what, it kind of both suck.
Oh, you know, speaking of 7 Digital and of Songbird, I'd like to go back and look at Songbird again because we did that early on with iTunes and Songbird. We had a couple of them when Dan was still here.
Foobar, I think.
Yeah. So I'd like to go back and see what's changed with it. It's been like, what, almost a year since we did that.
We'll have to make that a project.
Yeah. Well, we're continuing with what we did last month. So maybe go back and try some. Hopefully someday we'll get to use the one... it's only available in England. I can't think of the name. The one that always pops up every.
Is it Spotify?
Spotify. I'd like to try that.
I thought it moved over to here. Oh, whatever.
But anyhow, Tim, before I get to my talk about Fortet's show, why don't you tell them where they can find all these stories?
Well, for the time being, as we mentioned last week, we are available at knownothingmusicshow.podomatic.com. That is K-N-O-W, nothingmusicshow.podomatic.com. Keep in mind, we are moving over to knownothingmusicshow.com.
Don't go there yet.
Yeah, don't go there yet. We're just holding the spot, and we're currently talking to get someone to actually build us a web page and do all that good fun stuff. Then we'll be moving everything over very soon. But like I said, for right now, at least go there. Subscribe to us, add us to your podcatcher. That way, once we do move over and get all that information, we'll give it to you first.
And also, I think I can mention this, Tim. I think you mentioned last week about Penny Cult.
We're
going to be part of them.
Yes, so
we're
official members.
So definitely go over and check all those guys out at pennycult.com.
And they're going to be, currently are redoing their website.
So.
Ooh, I try to log in. It's asking me for a password. Okay, I'll have to ask those guys what's going on. Penny Cult, otherwise obscure80s.com.
Slugcast.
Slugcast.net.
We always seem to. He mentions us, we mention him. We'll be moving over there, and we'll hopefully get some of you guys, some more listeners that listen over there at Penny Cult. And if you listen to us through Podomatic, definitely. Stay with us. We're just trying to make the show better for everybody. So, and all the information as well. If you want to email us or send us a Google Voice call, we'd like feedback. So, I will give you my talk about Fortet at the Empty Bottle. Saw Fortet about 2 Fridays ago now. Yeah. Played at the Empty Bottle. He was the headliner. His opener was another DJ from England. Actually enjoyed him a lot. Sort of started off but got progressively better as the show went. Of course, it was a pretty spare stage. He says it was just some mixers and a bunch of computers. So no live band or anything like that. Same with Fortet or Kieran Hebden, who's actually from the UK, and I enjoyed the show. I'm not a huge electronic fan, and definitely was a different crowd that night, more energized, a lot of sort of weird dancing, I don't know if you've ever been to an electronic or a DJ show. It's sort of odd dancing in place and all bobbing head and stuff, but it was good. I've always liked the sound there. Kieran really didn't say anything after every song. Was sort of just a thumbs up. He actually did an encore of a couple songs, it was over by, I think, like 1. I think I'd go see him again. But I don't know. I think I'll save more for my review on Fortet. Because I don't want to give some things away. I can probably say a lot more there. But overall, it was a good show. Always liked the crowd there. Always liked the sound at the Empty Bottle. Unfortunately, Tim wasn't able to go. Hopefully we'll get to go see a show sometime soon. I think in April, Beach House is coming, and I may be able to get some tickets for that. Would like to see them live. They've got a new album just came out. Maybe Field Music. That would be a good show. But I'm trying to go see more shows because reviewing music would be would be nice to go see some live acts scattered in here and there, since I do talk about albums pretty much weekly. Tim, do you want to start it off with the new Field Music Measures?
Yes, new Field Music, otherwise called Measure, which is kind of a double LP. okay I'm just going to start off before I even get into anything. I just want to state my beef with the American distribution. I'm assuming it's just American distribution. I've actually been trying to find out more information why I got screwed when I ordered my copy on Amazon. I ordered it, I delivered to my work, and I was looking forward to, popping it open and, slipping in one of the discs. Unfortunately, I'm kind of opening it while I'm driving, and, we've all done it. Don't criticize me. And then imagine my surprise when I'm looking inside and all I see one disc of a double disc. Evidently, I'm thinking maybe it's just the American market, because I went later on Amazon and the import version, which is sold out, that one is a double disc. So I'm thinking they just cram, because in all honesty, they're just over like 71 minutes of music on both versions. Mm-hmm. It runs like an hour and 10 minutes. So I'm thinking they just crammed it down a little bit, considering that there's a secret track on here. And there's a small gap. I'm thinking maybe they might have cut out a couple seconds to make it all fit into one disc. So I'm just kind of pissed off thinking, I'm missing a disc, even though all the tracks are there. Plus, all I get is one of those fold-out, one sheets for the liner notes. And I'm reading online about someone saying it's something about it brought him back to the days of, sitting down, looking at a record and flipping through the liner notes. And all there is in the liner notes are the thank yous and the recorded ads. And the one cool thing about it, it does have behind the disc, it does have a CAD layout of the recording studio, and including a little key to let you know where all the instruments were in this recording studio. So that's kind of cool. But at the same time, I think I got screwed. I would have paid an extra $5 for a double disc. That's my beef of the week. All right. Field Music, a band from Sunderland, England, who formed in 2004. Members have actually been part of another group I really enjoyed. A couple of the members have been members of the Future Heads, including the one brother, Peter Brewis, who played drums for the Future Heads at one time. So, like I said, these guys... Well, that's pretty good merits right there. Two previous albums, the self-named Field Music and Tones of the Town, two albums which I'm just going to put out there for complete disclosure. I was a huge fan of those two albums. Tones of the Town released in 2007. They've been quiet ever since January of that year, at least as far as new music has gone. They have done a couple side projects, including School of Language and The Week That Was. So they've kind of been like little side projects, but not until February of 2010 have they actually released any new material under the True Field Music moniker. And they've come back swinging with what is kind of a double disc. Only an hour and 10 minutes, they cram it all into U-list into one disc. Sorry, I'm a little angry. I was looking forward to a double disc. I haven't bought a double disc in a long time. I'm about to pass this over to Tom. But before I pass it over, I think we always ask that kind of question with any double disc, is it really worth listening to two separate albums? Now, I know I've listened to it primarily this week in digital form, and because it just sounds like a long album, it's kind of hard to tell that it's 20 tracks, especially when you're just listening to it straight. I think I'm just going to start this off by asking you, Tom, first and foremost, how do you feel about this being a double disc? Do you think it works? Would have worked better, kind of cut down to one album? Because that's kind of the question we keep asking ourselves, why not just one? So I'm just going to start you off there.
No, I think I actually, in this case, I think the double disc works.
Okay.
They've been sort of in hiding for 3 years, not doing anything except for some side projects. So 20 songs is okay, and it comes in only a little bit over an hour, So it's not like a some double discs. I mean, we talked about the classic, I think it was the Clash album.
Oh, their Satanista album.
That was a double album, and that was a chore for me at least. And then, you know, I think that's the main reason we don't see discs, double discs, is because the listener at the end of that second disc is left going, "Wow, I'm not going to listen to this again because it's a I mean, if you listen to it all the way through, you know, so, and sometimes it's a very long journey, but I think in this case, it's a journey that's not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, not to interrupt you there, but the main reason why I asked you too was I know I was reading some reviews and just kind of flipping around again, trying to figure out why I got screwed, and I came across a lot of people kind of torn on disc one versus disc two. And unfortunately, I was kind of robbed of having that experience of just listening to disc one versus disc two, you know, without going, okay, which track am I on? Where does this album end? You know, without having to check. So, no, I was just asking because some people are really torn. Some people say disc one's the only one worth the money. Other people say, no, disc two is where it's at because I believe disc two starts to get a little more avant-garde in their sound. But all right, I've interrupted enough. I just want to kind of put that out there, and also to put out there too, I said I was a huge fan. That my next kind of little question to you is, you didn't like them when I tried to turn you on to them before.
Yeah, I don't know what it was then. You know, I have. There's. I mean, I think everybody has this case where you listen to a band, you know, you listen to them 3 years ago. And you couldn't stand them. It's like, and then you come back a couple years later, and it's like, okay, wow, what wasn't I hearing? And I think it's a lot like, I'll do an analogy here because you usually do. I think the good analogy is, we're actually drinking some beer right now. Actually, it's Hornsby's hard cider,
crisp apple.
And and if I drank Hornsby's, you know, 10 years ago when I was 21, I probably wouldn't have liked it. Probably would have been too sweet for my taste.
Yeah.
I think anything where you, any, you know, like same with wine or tea or even coffee, you should always start off at something, you know, mild and just move your way in. I think it's the same with music. Your tastes change over time. They broaden, or you learn the like aspects you didn't like before. I think that's the case here. When I listened to their older stuff, didn't really care for it, but a couple years down the line, I'm asking myself, what the heck was wrong with me? Because this is Field Music's Measure, which is a double disc, I fully enjoyed this. I would definitely recommend this to anybody. Even though the double disc doesn't feel like it, I actually enjoyed it. I love the dual vocals on this. Really adds a lot to that. Other bands, I think, what's this Scottish band? We talked about their latest album like a year ago.
Oh, well, that narrows it down. Las Vegas? I don't know.
No. Whatever. They had dueling vocals. I remember at the time I said, you know, I would have liked them to have just a single vocal on there. But this on Measure really works. And I think the reason it works is because there's so much going on in this album, in each song as well. I think it's Precious Plans, sort of starts off slow and then has a really great guitar riff going on throughout. If I ever meet these guys, I have to ask them a question because during this whole album, different bands from the 70s kept on coming into my head. This album definitely has a 70s feel to it. You know, I can hear a lot of, Beatles. I mean, any band, you know, Beatles influence. Could hear some of Wings, even Paul McCartney's band after Beatles. You know, some Doobie Brothers, Allman Brothers. There's a lot of guitar work in this that reminds me of the 70s style guitar work and songs that had a lot of different style changes, but not style changes, but different you know, areas in the song that sort of, you know, a guitar came on and something went off, and you know, that I enjoyed that aspect. And I also heard a lot of the Shins in some songs. There's, I think, in the second album you said that was more experimental. One of the songs started off with sort of like a digital sound, mm-hmm. electronic sound. I really enjoyed that because, you know, after almost a whole album of just sort of 70s-esque rock, not to a huge degree, but you can hear it. It was a nice change of pace to have that. Another great change of pace, I liked how it ended. It's the track It's About Time. Starts off with, like, I think a violin sort of slows it down. I think it's one of the longer tracks. And actually, I read a review over at Drowned in Sound on it, and the guy there really didn't care for it. He sort of thought it was a throwaway, could have been shorter. But I liked it. You know, I enjoyed all 20 tracks, really. This is an album I could sit down and listen to again, even if it is, you know, 20 tracks, because there's something in every track that I can enjoy. I think there's this really solid musicianship from both the brothers, and the guitar is great. You know, there's some really meaty riffs in here, but then in some tracks, there's some great sort of acoustic sounding guitar, and everything in this album, I think, really works so well together. So this is definitely a recommend to anybody that enjoys music. I think this is a solid rock album. You know, even if you don't hear what I hear in the music, you know, 70s stuff, whatever, this is a band, you know, I would definitely, you know, pay money to see live. Because I think really they've got their craft down pat, and I think it will be a really enjoyable live show. So Tim, you're over there smirking. What are your thoughts?
You know, every damn week you've just been trying to screw me over, because every time I think, okay, he's going to like this album, he hates it. He's going to hate this album, he likes it. I thought for sure you're going to hate this album because... Okay, here, let me start here. First off, aside for a handful of tracks on this, mostly towards the latter end, they really do sound like field music. Not much has changed. I mentioned I was a fan of their prior two albums. Listened to them a ton. So I'm definitely fairly well versed in their sound and what they had to offer. So I was really looking forward to listening to this album. And, you know, upon listening to their first few tracks the first time and trying to pick it apart in my brain and, you know, think, okay, what's new? What are they doing? First off, I didn't hear a ton of difference between this album and their previous albums, meaning that I don't think they really changed their sound any. The little bit of differences were... I think they orchestrated the music a little better. They pieced it together a little more. A lot of the music was a little more complex than what they have done in the past. I really think that they really honed their skills and redefined who they were. To me, doing a double disc is really it's a statement. If you do a double disc, it's a statement album. It's something that you're saying to the critics, to your fans. And I think this is one where they came out and they wanted to say something, and I think they wanted to say that we're not just the pop band that we started out as. We're not just the little indie music darlings. There's a reason why I believe they were talking about splitting up after their last album in 07. I think they were kind of a little sick of being field music and just doing pop music. they do it well. They do it excellent. They're very friggin' catchy. You can get their song stuck in your head for weeks. That's why I love them so much. The replayability, you know, that short, sweet packages that they put everything in, they candy coat everything, and it's so good. I think they were a little sick of doing that. They wanted to do something different. They wanted to be something else. And for me, I think this album, they tried to move it forward. The first album, definitely a lot more of the bread and butter. Second album, I think they tried pushing the bounds of what they were doing a little bit more, tried to experiment a little more on that side of the album. My biggest problem with that is, even on the albums, or excuse me, on the tracks where I feel that they are pushing themselves, and again, just being a huge fan and being a music snob and really overanalyzing this album over the course of a week and a half now, actually closer to 2 weeks, I feel that they didn't do enough. I think that they stuck a little too close to their bread and butter, which is finely honed chorus, verse, chorus, verse, chorus, chorus, fade out. That's what they do best. And the reason why I said this, because there is something, you know, over listening to this over and over and over again, where I kept asking myself, you know, do I like it? Yes. Is it awesome? No. Why, you know, do I think that it works as a double album? Kinda. I kept thinking to myself, you know, what don't I like about it? And I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And I finally, after a lot of actual thinking about this, and I kept thinking the best way to put this when we were going to review, and here's a little analogy I came up with. My analogy for this is, there are certain albums that need to be listened to, and there's certain albums that are just heard. Albums that are heard are albums that make a statement up front. They come out, they're bold, they're brash, they tell you exactly who they are, what they're doing, and why they're there. They grab you by the throat and throttle you around. This isn't so much that kind of album. It's very listenable. It's an album that you can listen to and dig into and put on repeat. There's nothing wrong with that. There is a lot to pick apart and really hear in this album. But at the same time, you're doing a lot of the listening. I think if they're going to do a statement album, which a double CD is, and I feel like they were trying to do, again, just playing armchair quarterback here, but in my opinion, they should have, instead of what I feel is the bend-but-don't-break attitude on some of these songs, I think they should have gone for broke. There are several tracks where I'm listening to it, and in my head I'm going, push it further. Push it further. Don't repeat, you know, don't refrain. You know, don't repeat this refrain and fade out. Do something here that's going to really blow my mind, because you have the talent. I've heard it on track after track. Don't, you know, do something different. Take it further than where you are now. A couple tracks, they kind of do that, but not far enough. And I really think what it comes down to is, if they had pushed it further, you couldn't fit all this on one single disc. Maybe I'm sounding like a bit like a curmudgeon because I'm angry about that. But seriously, you do a double disc and it's only 70 minutes. Why? You know, why do the double disc then? I really felt like they could have taken several of these songs a heck of a lot further and really explored the music. Like I said, go for broke. Instead, they went for bend but don't break. That's kind of my beef with this album. I'm being hypercritical. You know, all in all, I still think this is a buy album. I'm still glad I have it in my, in my collection now. So while I still give it a thumbs up, I feel like they missed a golden opportunity here. But, hey, just my opinion. Let's move on.
Okay, well, I'm going to respectively disagree, but I liked it. I think it was a good introduction to me on field music. You know, and I think I'll listen to it again. Maybe I'll go back and listen to the other albums to see how much changed. I mean, for reviewing's sake, it was hard to go and, after listening to a double disc, going, well, you know what, I should listen to the older stuff because that's two other discs, which would have been a lot. But you know, I think in you know, I think I'll go back and listen to some of their older stuff to see the change and see if any of your things are, you know, warranted. But I'll keep on listening to this album. But anyhow, let's move on to Kieran Hebden, otherwise known as Fortet, and his album There Is Love in You, which was released at the end of two months ago, almost January 25th. He's out of London, England, originally from the band Fridge, and since 99 has been releasing stuff as Fortet. He's also released some albums as Kieran Hebden, but prior to There Is Love in You, there was the album also off of Domino Records, released in April of 08, called Ringer, and then prior to that was Remixes and a couple others a couple years before that. But There Is Love in You, it's a electronic post-rock sort of album, and like I said, I saw him on two Fridays ago at the Empty Bottle, so I have more stuff to say about that when I get to my review. But Tim, what are your thoughts on There Is Love in You?
Okay, you whenever listening to an electronic sort of album, or I in my mind, I kind of classify this more towards like a trip hop sort of album,
yeah,
where it's got a good vibe, but at the same time it's also fairly mellow, so it's not something I can necessarily rave to. But you know, it does. There's a lot of good drum and bass. There's I was listening to it today and really kind of sinking into some of the percussion on this. I thought really blew me away at, you know, today's listening. Although other than that, you know, I don't have too much to say about this other than I did like some of the samples that they took, you know, some of the vocals. You know, obviously no real lyrics here, but
like
just some of the
all
vocals.
The angels cry.
Yeah, there are some good vocals on here, some good samples here, where I was really enjoying what they were doing. And it's kind of hard when you review any kind of electronic album, because a lot of it is based on repetition.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it is just trying to figure out what are they doing, what are their goals, what are their influences, and where are they taking this particular track or this album in a whole. So it's a lot more about the journey more so than the destination, as opposed to like a Field Music, where I think in my head when I listened to that one, I placed goals there. I knew I loved their previous albums, and I knew that if they're coming off a double, they really got to come out swinging. Whereas this one, all I'm doing is listening to the, you know, few little lines of one track and going, okay, where's this going to take me? Like I said, it's all about finding their influences, finding what kind of mood, what kind of ambience that they're trying to create. Ultimately, while this one isn't my pick of the week, this isn't my album of the week, for all my gripes about Field Music, that is my buy album of the week. This is definitely more of a... I've kind of refined my verdicts here. If you listen to us before, you realize we really don't have any kind of grading scale. If anything, we tell you if it's worth our money or if it's we think it's worth your money. Like I said, Field Music, definitely worth me purchasing the CD. This one is actually probably more me purchasing the MP3s. I think it's definitely much more something I rather have the album in my digital collection as opposed to my physical collection. It's definitely something that I would recommend if this is the kind of music you're into. If you like good ambient music, I think it's very good if you want something that you can just, you know, drone out to and just, whether it's just background or something you want to kind of meditate over, I think it's very good. I like this. He's a very talented guy. I think it would have been interesting to see him live. Maybe not the entire album, but there are definitely a few tracks on here, especially early on. I don't have the track list in front of me. Whatever track 2 and 3 were.
Love Cry and Circling.
Yeah, those are two that really caught my attention, especially today listening to it, where I thought, you know what, this would be interesting to hear in a live venue when you can really crank it up. I can't say that I gave it... I mean, I gave it ear time, but I really didn't give it any proper listening. In other words, I really didn't crank the headphones up this week at home. I didn't do a lot of that. Most of my listening, I think, the last week or so have been over my MP3 player / in the car. So, like I said, probably not the proper venue for listening to this kind of stuff. I probably should have took it home, listened to my home rig a little bit more, but I really found myself getting into it, and like I said, it is definitely a recommend, and it's probably an MP3 purchase, if anything. So, yeah, that's my verdicts of the week. So, Tom, go ahead and let's cap this off. I want to hear a little more about the live show.
Yeah, so to start it off, you know, I talked about the live show, and the thing I got from this, and from listening to them at the live show, was that electronic music, trip hop, that whole broad category of electronic music,
techno, and
there's so much in there. I mean, there's so many different aspects of it. It's definitely a mood music for me.
Oh yeah.
You know, there's some days I can listen to, you know, Daft Punk and you know, Fortet and Chemical Brothers and all that, the whole lineup, and really enjoy it and get into the beats and just the, you know, the repetitive nature of it. And unfortunately, the week and this last 2 weeks that I've listened to Fortet haven't been there. I think it's definitely a music for, you know, when you want to sort of introspect and
you're just trying to disagree with me, aren't you?
No, I'm not trying to disagree with you. It's just I think it's the type of music that, you know, it's really great when you're sort of in a meh mood. You know, just want to put the headphones on and sort of just space out. This is space out music, for at least in my eyes. You know, you just listen to it and sort of, you know, listen to the beats and listen to the sounds and sort of space out and forget about all your, you know, wants and worries. And unfortunately, I haven't had too many worries and wants lately. So, I mean, there's some great tracks on here, and there's, like Tim said, there's some great, you know, audio samples. Angel's Echoes, I still have that intro in part of my head, that sort of violin sort of S sound, and then the woman's vocal sort of repeating. I always, during the whole time I listened to this album these last 2 weeks, always have been trying to figure out what the hell she's saying, but I can never figure that out. I think the first three tracks are really the, if I have to, you know, say what I've listened to and what I've enjoyed, the first three tracks I really think are, you know, high on the watermark, and I think, unfortunately for me, the last, you know, 4 through 9 sort of the mood changes, a little less, more subdued, and I found that odd, because it starts sort of off with this sort of, the first three tracks are very beautiful sounding. I mean, and then it's sort of changes, and it's, you know, sort of melancholy in a way. I would have liked to have seen that sort of really beautiful aspect of those first two tracks continued throughout the whole album. Would have led to, I think, a more cohesive electronic album, something I could have gotten more into. Also, this is, like we said before, this is an album that I think definitely is an album you play sort of in the background, at a party or something, you know, something, you know, because there's either you're totally into listening to it, or it's sort of something in the background that you sort of, you know, enjoy here and there. And for me, this is sort of going to be in the background here and there, as far as listening to it in the future. It's definitely, you know, if I know somebody likes electronic albums or the bands or whatever, definitely it's something I'll tell them about. I mean, he's, you know, obviously he knows what he's doing. He's been around for over 10 years, and probably longer with the band Fridge. And I always find that in electronic, the electronic genre area, that English and sort of European DJs sort of have a finer craft. I think they're a little bit better, and I think the Fortet is in that sort of area. You know, seeing him live was really fun to watch, because even though I didn't enjoy it, I sort of honed in and sort of watched him doing all this stuff on the soundboard and his different changes and stuff like that, and it made me sort of envious that I didn't have that talent to sort of, you know, I mean, you know, I probably could learn it and do it, but I think it would take a long time for me to really, you know, get there, but, you know.
The greats always make it look easy.
Yeah, yeah, right? And that was a thing. And there, and he, the other thing about the live show, for me at least, both the album and the show, even though it's beautiful sounding and there's some great beats, for some reason for me it sort of felt hollow. I didn't feel any emotion anywhere. Nothing sort of, you know, got my, you know, spirit rising or anything.
Mr. Mojo rising?
No. And that's a thing, definitely for me, when I listen to an album, is does it grab me and sort of push me along in some way? And unfortunately, this didn't. I mean,
Well, it's very hard in electronic music,
well,
too.
Well, it's sort of like looking at a picture of a flower. I mean, mm-hmm. It's really pretty, but you can't touch it and smell it, and you know, I don't know if that's a good analogy, but this is I think it's hollow, and you know, if you disagree, you know, let me know. This is definitely a week of us disagreeing on.
Again, we haven't. I don't think we've been simpatico since Eels End Times this year.
No,
that's
yet.
About it. And even, you know what? Field Music, we agree, but for different reasons.
Yeah. Oh. Well, you know, we came from different sort of roads on that. You came from a road that had, you know, signposts of, you've listened to Field Music for a while,
mm-hmm.
and I came from a totally new.
Ignorant
aspect. So was, I think we agreed for different reasons that it's a good album.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, I think we are somewhat in agreement. While we would recommend this album, I think Field Music is definitely the hands down purchase of the week, I think, for both of us. So
yeah.
All right. What is your pick for next week?
My pick for next week is the new one that came out at the end of January on the 26th off of Sub Pop, Beach House, their new album, Teen Dream. I've been hearing a lot of stuff about this album. I listened to, actually, Beach House and their 08 release, Devotion. So I've listened to a couple of tracks off the Teen Dream. Definitely looking forward to hearing Tim's thoughts and listening to this album more in depth. So this is Beach House, like I said earlier, was a band that I'd like to go see. I think they're in April coming here to Chicago. So
heard a lot about them. Looking forward to it.
But Tim, what's your pick?
All right, next week we hope to figure out who killed Sergeant Pepper with Brian Jonestown's new release. Named Who Killed Sergeant Pepper. So looking forward to the new Brian Jonestown Massacre, BJM is what we'll be calling them for short. So hopefully that comes out pretty good. I think for next month, I think almost solid, there's something new every week, including this week. I was definitely looking forward to Feud Music, so there's something new that I'm really looking forward to. But Hopefully they'll pan out as good, if not better, than Feud Music. Because, again, I didn't hate it. I still recommend it. I still bought it. I'm glad I did. Not glad I got screwed over in a double disc. All right. Other than that, take care, people. Hey, get out, listen to some live music. Tom?
Yeah, I'm going to continue doing what Tim just recommended, hopefully. Yeah, looking forward to next week's albums and, you know, getting this website and everything up and running.
Yes.
Figuring out this mixer that is staring at me menacingly.
KnowNothingMusicShow.com.
But anyhow, enjoy your week, guys. Enjoy your weekend. Actually, enjoy your week. By the time you get this, it'll be the week. So anyhow, I'll stop rambling.
We're traveling through time.
Later, everybody.
Later.